Men often find themselves blindsided by a culture that hates authentic masculinity, and many have given in and succumbed to the ever-evolving culture and woke society. But not us. We are the Remnant, faithful Catholic men from three different generations who reach through the radio to tackle current events that challenge our wills and empower the practice of the Catholic faith through thought-provoking discernment and prayer. So, if you're feeling overwhelmed and bombarded, it's time to turn your radio up and join us for The Remnant on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Remnant. This is the Christmas edition of our show. We're so excited that you are able to join us here on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network. My name is Bill Snyder. I'm joined, as always, by my two good friends, Stephen Thomas and Ray Haywood. And I got to remind you that the Remnant Show is sponsored by the Fraternity of St. Joseph's Men's Group. You can visit fsjjourneyman.com to review the easy-to-follow resource documents and consider starting a chapter of the FSJ Men's Group in your own parish today. Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Doing wonderful. I'm so excited for this season, man.
Yes. Yeah. I am looking forward to this. This is going to be a great show tonight.
Yeah, it is. It is. Ray, why don't you kick it off for us?
Yes. So tonight's Remanded show is on Christmas past, present, and future. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start in the future. I'm going to do this backwards. And the reason why is because I'm going to focus in on my youth and the tradition that I grew up with. And I want to emphasize that and leave off on that. So for Natalie and I, Christmas future is about the lives of our sons and their families. For us to, God willing, be able to watch our next generation be fathered by our well-formed sons. And for me personally, to see the families of the young men I am intentionally reaching into and uncling in our FSJ men's group. You know, it's a beautiful thing that I get to do. This beautiful parish we're here in St. Thomas Aquinas in his unbelievable diocese of Charlotte. We are so blessed. The future is so bright and hopeful. I will be doing my best to intentionally not allow anything to take away that childlike inner peace from our future generations. You know, it's an important thing, and we should all be thinking about that. Keep that, you know, innocence of the child in place. So, Christmas present is very easy for me to describe. I mean, it's peaceful. Natalie and I have worked hard to hand on tradition in the form of obedience and discipline to our sons. Our family doesn't face the same challenges as other families. Our sons are not confused in the worldly narrative that is challenging their generation. Christmas Day in our house will be filled with tradition as we know it. I hope the two of you and your wives can share in the peaceful resolve that Natalie and I do. Being a father today is challenged like no other. I mean, when I was a young father, I didn't have the challenges that you guys are going to face. And understanding the stages of the masculine journey is the answer to the trials ahead. So now for the fun part, right? Christmas past, growing up in Brooklyn. Being one of five children living in the same house for my whole life as a child. I mean, across the street from my grandparents in a community filled with family. Christmas was joyful, meaning filled with love. Let's talk about tradition. We can start with Christmas Eve. My Aunt Nell would give us all the children in our family. Every house was delivered packages for us to open on Christmas Eve, and it was pajamas. And, that lasted my whole childhood. It's a great memory, and it makes for good, really good Christmas pictures looking back now as an adult, you know. And another thing, another tradition in my house when I was growing up was that my parents put up their Christmas tree on Christmas Eve, after their five children went to bed. I can't even imagine. Like, my father, he worked three jobs to afford us all to get a Catholic education. I don't know how they did it, but I know why they did it, you know? So if you're listening to this with the innocence of children around you right now, please turn back in later. I don't want to take away that innocence. And I'm going to talk about some things that, you know, I don't want the children to hear right now. So for as long as I can remember, on Christmas Eve, Santa Claus would show up at my house and all of the other houses in our family, you know, to the children. It was a beautiful thing. My cousin Larry was Santa Claus to our family for over 3 decades. I called him in preparation for this episode to gain some perspective. And this is some of the highlights of what he shared with me. He said to me that he had a route that grew and grew with every passing year. And it was not an easy task for him to fit everybody in. He told me that over the years, he began to understand that being Santa Claus meant that you could get away with pretty much anything. Think about that. You know, you're driving around and Larry's in his orange van for my family and his friends listening right now. And, you know, he felt as though he could do anything as Santa Claus, especially at that moment in time, you know, back when I was a kid. So he shared with me a specific memory of his. So his brother, Dennis, has his daughter, Maureen. In the route that he had this night, they were out at Lundy's, which is on Emmons Avenue in Sheepshead Bay in Brooklyn. Big restaurant. You know, it's not there anymore. Another landmark that's not there for us. But anyhow, he somehow knew that they were going to be there. So he went to the house. He knocked. They weren't there. He left a candy cane on the door. So he goes over to Lundy's and he walks through Lundy's dining room like as if he's just visiting everybody at every table. And then he walks over to the table where his brother is and he kneels down and he says, "And how have you been? Have you been a good girl this year, Maureen?" And she lit up. And could you imagine, like, she thinks, as the innocence of a child, that Santa Claus knows who she is. Just a beautiful story that he shared with me. And he went on to say that in the travels home, she broke her candy cane. So somehow or other, Larry left a candy cane hanging on the front door of their house. So she got home and there was a candy cane there waiting for her. Just unbelievable, the story, you know, beautiful. My takeaway was that Larry described Christmas through the eyes of children that he touched. You know, he said that at one point in our conversation, he stated that being Santa Claus was like being on crack, junk, and Christmas all rolled up into one. Now, for us younger guys, I want you to know Larry is in his 70s. You know, he comes from a different time than us. But, you know, I just want you to understand what he's describing here. He's describing his own euphoria. And for the people who know Larry personally and are listening along, you're welcome, because you understand Larry as well as I do. But if you think about what he's sharing that Christmas to him is like a high. It's his own euphoria. And I want to say, by the way, Larry doesn't have any of his own children. So tell me again, how do we share in true joy? The only way we get to share in it is through love. To Larry, the innocence of a child in the arms of Santa Claus is what true joy means to him. And I'm going to tell you, what a conversation that we had. It's just a beautiful thing. I think back on it, and I'm sure my family listening along, there's probably a lot of tears in eyes right now. And to know Larry is to know true joyfulness. Stephen, you got any memories of when you were growing up?
Oh gosh. I always enjoyed Christmas personally. It was one of my favorite ones out of all of them. And it was just that feeling of anticipation growing up as a kid. Being the oldest of three, I think I got spoiled a little bit as an only child, and then as sort of the only talking child, and then my luck kind of ran out as two younger brothers came up and began to take precedence. One of the things that I really enjoyed was in my family, we would have Christmas Eve snacks. It was one of my fondest memories as a kid. And we would bring snacks like cookies and like charcuterie. And we would go over to my grandparents' house after dark on Christmas Eve and just sort of have that anticipatory excitement together as a small little family community. That was a really profound and sort of happy experience. And I kind of made your story made me think about just that simplicity in that euphoria that you feel just as a kid that your uncle was able to give. And I remember, you know, kind of moving more into the young adult and adult stages and having that childlike euphoria wear off. But gradually over time, I began to see the benefits of, you know, cooking somebody's favorite meal at the holidays, or if you knew somebody needed something. You know, I'm one of those people who I'll make a note 3 months, just 3 months in advance based off of a, you know, random quip somebody said, or I'll try to anyway. And I will give it to them later and they'll be like, "Man, you remember that?" Like, but that is more in that giving spirit. And that is how I think we as adults get back to some sense of that euphoria that you describe.
Yes. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so much fun listening to you guys. I just want to quickly give you a snapshot of my, you know, past, present, and future. When we were little, Christmas passed in my family, two things stood out. Number one, we would always go do a trip to downtown Philadelphia and see the Scrooge exhibit. In a department store down there. And then we would also go see the light show in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia John Wanamaker's light show, which is, it's no longer in existence. But man, it was just an amazing day. We would travel down to Philadelphia where we were living in the suburbs of. So we would go down there and we would do that. It was beautiful. Another thing that always happened in my past was that my dad, when we were living there, would always throw a Christmas party for our entire family. So everybody from the Snyder side of the family would come over the house. We have videos of us performing Knock Three Times, or my aunts performing Knock Three Times by Tony Orlando and Dawn. You know, we have just amazing, you know, video footage from that time in our lives, you know, on the old 8mm video cameras. And, you know, I say this as I'm in Puerto Rico right now with my son. We're experiencing his first Christmas together. And I've certainly been to Puerto Rico before. I've been to Puerto Rico for Christmas before. But the experience of having my, you know, my son with his first Christmas is just amazing. And I'm so blessed to be able to be here and to be able to, you know, just celebrate that and be Santa Claus, right. You know, for the first time. And that's, there's just no words to describe that. And you know, future, when you look off into the future, you know, you see, you look in my son's eyes, you know, I can look in Elvin's eyes. I can see, you know, all the future in front of him, right. I can see, you know, the beautiful stuff that's going to be coming down the pike for him and the Christmases that we have yet to come. So that's where I would, you know, leave my thoughts. We're going to take a short break here on the Remnant, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about our saint of the week, which is none other than Saint Nicholas. So we'll be right back after these messages here on the Remnant. Stay tuned to the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, my name is Ray Haywood, and I'm coming to you today to speak to you about the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group, a men's group that was started under the leadership of Father Matthew Codd by the intentional men of the parish of St. Thomas Aquinas here in our Diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina. In our first efforts, we were asked if we would model our men's group in a way that other parishes could simply follow. With that intent in mind, we created the FSJJourneyman.com website. On that website, you can find all that is needed to create your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group in your parish, as well as resource documents that we are intentionally placing into our faith community. We hope that you will step closer to the path and to each other in the just model of St. Joseph as you consider creating your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group.
How's it going, Remnant listeners? This is your co-host, Stephen Thomas. Like you and all discerning men, I am often intrigued and provoked by what I see and what I hear about in the world today, and I wonder whether or not I can reconcile it to our Catholic faith. Now, my apostolate primarily is that of the Catholic school teacher, but I also write essays and reflections on topics that I believe are either noteworthy or important to the Catholic world today. My work can be found at Musings of a Young Mind. Just search it or put Musings of a Young Mind works.wordpress.com in your search bar. Thank you, and hail Christ the King. God bless.
Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147. Or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org. Welcome back to The Remnant on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Remanded Show. You know, we're talking about Christmas, past, future, and present. And can't talk about Christmas without St. Nicholas, right? So as I was preparing for this show, what I learned about St. Nicholas was that he came from money, and that throughout his life, he always had a charitable heart. And there's a story that kept coming up for me as I was preparing, and it was around his time being a bishop. And the story goes that there was a poor man in his community who had three daughters, but he had no money for a dowry, right? So this is a problem for this man. And, you know, what happens is the legend has it that St. Nicholas climbed up on the roof of this man's house and dropped three bags of gold down the chimney. Now, listen to this. The legend goes on a little deeper. You know that old story of telephone? Well, this may come and play here, because it's said that some of the gold in the bags made it into the stockings that were drying by the fire. That's a little bit of, you know, all right. Well, it's interesting, no? So what I get out of that, what comes to me with when it comes to St. Nicholas and when I think about Christmas and, you know, we're talking about all the things of the world, I think right away about the things, what the real meaning of Christmas is, and that's of our Lord and Savior. And, you know, how does he want us to be? And that charitable heart of St. Nicholas is what speaks to me. And it tells me to remind, you know, our listeners that charity is a virtue that's learned at the hands of our loved ones. And, you know, we could change, we could actually set a trajectory for our families with a charitable heart. and we could step into the role of St. Nicholas as Santa Claus for some of the loved ones in our lives. And, you know, I don't have to say who they are. I'm sure that as I'm saying this to you, you know who they are. We all know the people in our lives that we could touch. And, you know, maybe we can inspire you tonight in this show to reach out and touch somebody in the spirit of St. Nicholas. So who's up next, fellas?
Why don't I tell a brief story that I enjoy about St. Nicholas? So Ray said that he was a bishop and he lived in the 4th century as the Bishop of Myra in what is now Turkey. And he is a documented member of the Church Fathers at the Council of Nicaea, which is the first ecumenical council that was held in 325, called by the Emperor Constantine to settle the matter about the Arian controversy, which denied the divinity of Christ. It's where we get the Nicene Creed that we say at Mass on Sunday. And one of my favorite stories, which really just gives St. Nicholas the historical, not just the myth, because, you know, we have the whole myth about St. Nicholas, but this is the historical person. And this particular story I chuckle. So it goes that during the council's deliberations, Arius was spouting his heresy. And St. Nicholas was just not having it, walked up and slapped him. Slapped Arius for denying the divinity of Christ. Now, that is an ardent upholding of Orthodox teaching. And as we know, Arianism got condemned. We developed the Nicene Creed.
Yep.
And it might well have come down to that slap. Who knows? That's my story.
You know, if you are on social media on December 6th, which is the feast day of St. Nicholas, all you will see are memes of St. Nicholas slapping Arius all day. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of the best meme days on the internet, which I can attest to. So check it out. Check out, you know, all you gotta do is Google it. St. Nicholas slaps Arius. But you know, when I think of St. Nicholas, I think of, you know, well, first of all, Ray, you did an amazing job talking about this story and, you know, about the dowry and everything. One of the versions of that legend that I read was that this man was not only poor, but he was also evil, and that he was forcing his children into prostitution to cover the dowry. Wow. which is even crazier, because, you know, then you think, and again, this is a legend, this is not, you know, whether or not it's true or whether or not it, you know, came to pass, we're not sure, right? But the reality is, like, okay, not only is this guy poor, but he's evil, so, you know, putting his putting his children into this terrible situation to have them cover their own dowry. And St. Nicholas gets wind of it and he drops the money through the, you know, through the chimney to save, you know, to save their purity, and just incredible, right? So I think that adds just a little twist. Again, we're not exactly sure how it played out or if it played out. But the other thing I'll just mention about St. Nicholas is really getting a chance to play St. Nick. As a kid, and this will lead into my Remanent challenge too, is this, that we played Christmas angels growing up, where our parish had 12 nights, so the 12 days of Christmas, so not of Christmas, but right before Christmas, each and every night for 12 nights from the 12th to the 24th, our parish would identify needy families, and then they would pick 12 other families that would go and drive gifts to these families and knock on their doors, leave the door or leave the present by the door anonymously and run away. So my brother and I and my mom and dad would all get in the car, my sister too, we'd all get in the car, we'd go out and we would play Ding Dong Ditch for one night. Right. And we got to be St. Nick, literally leaving this present on this needy family's doorstep. And you know, by the, you know, second or third night, they had realized what was going on. There was this little poem that said, you know, on the first night of Christmas, this Christmas angel gave to me, blah, 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 blah. And it was like, you know, stuff for like, you know, to make cookies or, you know, some DVDs. It wasn't nothing super expensive, but it was a way to give back to these families. And, you know, maybe somebody was suffering with cancer. Maybe somebody had just lost, you know, mom or dad right around this time of year. I mean, there was a lot of things going on in our parish. So this was a way to give back, but it was an amazing way for us to give out the gifts, right? You know, my brother and I dressed in all black. We go up and knock on the door and we run back. You know, we never got caught, which was wonderful. And so I'd say be Saint Nick and be gift, not present, right? I mean, gift is very simple. You cannot repay a gift. That's, you know, presents, we exchange Christmas presents, right? Like we're exchanging this present and that present and this present and that present with somebody. That's not what that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be gift. Give something that you cannot, it cannot be repaid to you, right? So give without reserve. I think that's the best way that you can be St. Nicholas. That's my challenge for you during this Christmas season. So, Stephen, I'll leave it off to you, dear Remanded Chant.
Man, I love that story. I never would have pegged you for a dig dong ditcher as a kid. No way.
legally.
Yeah. So my Remanded is kind of in the same vein. So during, at least at St. Thomas and throughout our diocese, we've had Rerate masses, which have been particularly beautiful. And my challenge is like that. It's, I want you to make it to a liturgical or some other church-based, church-run festivity during this Christmastide, or find a way to participate in some outreach ministry through the parish, to be intentional about being truly present, and to get back to Ray's story at the beginning of the episode, to get into that euphoric sense, just as Bill says, to give a gift that can't be given back. I'm sure Ray's got a great challenge for us.
Absolutely. So my Remanded challenge this week is threefold. For the men out there, my age and older, if your grown children are wanting to have Christmas in their own homes, think back on the traditions that you handed on to them that now drives their will to want the same for their children and families. You did your job well, all for joy. For the young fathers out there who are feeling bad for stepping over this threshold in the masculine journey, understanding the need for creating your own family's traditions, I want to say to you, joyful suffering is what we do as fathers for the families we love. Do your job well, all for joy. And lastly, to encourage men out there to uncle in the same way that my cousin Larry did, to become Santa Claus to your family. Get a route together. Learn through my witness of the impact this type of selflessness had on my family. I encourage you, and you know who I'm talking to out there right now, to follow in Larry's example. The tradition that he handed on selflessly to many of the children in my family during their formative years left room for the innocence of a child to grow in wonder of the season. Truly beautiful. And to know Larry Coyle is to know true joy. He is truly a jolly old soul. But, you know, going back to what Stephen was just hitting on and what Bill was just hitting on, there's a gift out there that we can give, and it's forgiveness, because forgiveness is a gift in itself. It's a beautiful gift to give. And it's more in line for what this season truly is. So, Bill, you want to bring us out?
Sure, absolutely. Well, folks, we hope that you and your families have a very blessed Christmas season. And until next time, thank you so much for listening. May you have a blessed Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, all.
Thank you for joining The Remnant today. For more information about us, email theremnantshow@gmail.com. That's the REMENANT show at gmail.com.